thankful for the prayer that Brother Dwayne prayed publicly on our behalf, and would like to ask a continuation of your prayers that the Lord might bless the reading of his word. In spite of my poor efforts to study and to maybe bring to light in a manner that would be beneficial, the Lord would bless you anyway. That's my hope and my prayer. And before we start, I wanted to let you know I talked to Brother Don Watson nearly every Saturday, and he sends his love to the Lubbock Church, and he very much desires to be here and hopes to be here on the fifth Sunday. We have one of those coming up this month. So they've been meeting ever since we have. This is the fifth time we've met since we took a month off of coming together. And, you know, there are folks that have not made it back, and there's folks that are here and have been here and not here today. We need to pray for some. Some are traveling and out of town. But, you know, the Lord said, where there's two or three gathered in my name, he said, I'll be in our presence. And it is my hope that the Lord is in our presence today. As most of you know that's heard me preach from the Word of God in the last month, a great deal of what has been on my mind has been stemmed by the occurrences and the circumstances and the crisis that we're in, because I believe that the Word of God is a thorough furnisher unto all things. There's not anything going on in this world that is a surprise to our God. It may be a surprise to you and I. We may get the whole story, we may not get the whole story, but nothing is a surprise unto the only true and living God. God is sovereign. God knows all things. God has all power in heaven and in earth. We're told that the heaven and the heavens of heaven cannot contain him. And to think that something is taking place is out of the hands of our God is not what we should be thinking, because it's not correct. This is not bigger than God. It's not bigger than many crises that have come along down through the ages. It may be the biggest crisis that I'm aware of in my lifetime, but, you know, 60-something years out of thousands of years is not very much as far as mankind. So what we're seeing going on today is not something that is drastically different than things that have gone on in the past. There is one great difference today, unfortunately. I told someone a few days ago, I said, if we could throw away these cell phones and throw away our TVs, turn off the news, you might be surprised how much better things would be. Even not many years ago when I was a kid, news didn't travel the way it travels today. You have it instantaneously in social media, on the news. You know, when the flu epidemic of 1918 happened, the Spanish flu, when 65 million people died worldwide and 675,000 plus died in the United States of America, news didn't travel very far or very fast in those days. Matter of fact, most of the time you heard the news, it was history. You hear the news before it happens now almost. And so therefore, everybody's up to date. And not only that, one great change from the time I was a kid, I'd go home and they had the evening news, the national evening news, the national evening local news. They had it early in the morning and that's it. But now you can get whatever information you might desire 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's out there. And that drives a lot of what's going on in the world in which we live. We all have opinions and we're all entitled to opinions. You know, I've seen a great spectrum of opinions, even among doctors, on what's going on. You know, some from way over here to some way over here and a whole lot in between. And I always like to take God's word and begin to look at things. Last Sunday, we tried to preach on trusting in the Lord with all thine heart. You see, God is sovereign. And honestly, there is no one that you can trust in the way you can trust in God. You can count on the Lord. He has never failed you. He has never left us empty. He has never done us wrong. He's never broken a promise. There's no one in this world that you can trust like the only true and living God. He is trustworthy. That's why we're told in Proverbs 3 and 5, trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. The more information we get today on what's going on, the circumstances, the more we want to understand it. God says, lean not on thyself or on some other man. He said last week, as we quoted in Jeremiah 17, cursed is the man who trusteth in man. You know, he says in the latter part of that verse, he says, the more we trust in man or the arm of the flesh, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, it causes our hearts to depart from the Lord. And it does. This morning, here in a little bit, I want to look at a few other verses and stuff. I want to spend some time in 2 Chronicles, chapters 14, 15, and 16. These chapters refer to King Asa, and it's a great story in the Word of God. You know, we're told in the 15th chapter of Romans, the Apostle Paul said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. What was Paul referring to there? Paul was referring to the Old Testament. You know, the church is governed under the New Testament. We have that, and it was set up in the book of Acts. Actually, the church dawned before the book of Acts, but it tells us how the church is to progress and what we're supposed to do. But he also says there's great lessons to be learned in the Old Testament. And I believe, from my study of the Old Testament, there are more lessons about daily life that you and I need to understand and learn to deal with the situation and circumstances that we're undergoing. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. Anybody that tells you this is something beyond anything that's ever been known to man, they're not telling the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, I heard a man that was on a podcast, and he talked about folks telling a story, not the story. There's folks out here trying to tell you a truth, but not the truth. There is only one truth. And all truth must be measured by the Word of God. The 66 books that make up the canon of Scripture is the only absolute truth that you and I have in this entire world. If somebody tells you that something is true and it is contradicted by the Word of God, it doesn't go in harmony, you can rest on this. It's not true. The truth of God's Word is forever. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You know what that means? They put silver into this hot burning furnace, and it's so hot that it burns out all the impurities, and you have 99.9% silver. That's an actual truth. God's Word is 100% truth. There's not any untruth in it, not any impurities. We're told from the psalmist in Psalms 12, Lord, thou shalt keep them, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. We have this to learn from today to deal with the things that we're going to go through these days, whether it be a crisis like we have, which touches everyone collectively. It's not we have a lot of individual trials. Trials are a part of life. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world, you shall have trouble. Sometimes we all get to experience the trouble together, and that's what we're doing today. The things that are going on today are something that are collectively experienced, not only in this country, but even around the world. Regardless of the underlying circumstances or what might be going on, it has caused a lot of difficulty with a lot of folks, and especially with those who've contracted it. But, you know, there's a lot of other folks passing away every day from things that are not even a coronavirus. I mean, that still goes on. I know that it has taken a rise and it has gotten the news and the media, but people are still dying of cancer every day. They're dying of drug overdoses every day. Matter of fact, if you look at the numbers, they're a lot higher than the folks that are dying from the virus. So don't lose sight of that. That's what we're being told, and sometimes we have trouble remembering there are a lot of other problems out here that we need to pray for that people have because they still exist. We don't just have one thing to look at. There's only one thing being mentioned. But we want to look at the Word of God. God is sovereign. You can trust Him. You can trust Him with all your heart. You know, it said back over in the 17th chapter of Jeremiah, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Is your hope in the Lord today with what's going on? You know, there's a verse I learned many years ago when my oldest son began to grow up and began to drive and, you know, went through some great difficulties with his mom and his sister, and I always worried. Is he going to get here safe? Is he going to get where he's going? Wanted him to call. Didn't call half the time. You know how that all goes with your kids. But I finally come to the conclusion that I can't keep him. I can't protect him. I can't protect myself. You know, sometimes as parents, we believe that we have an ability to always protect our children, but if the Lord don't keep them, they can't be kept. You know, we're told in Psalms, I believe it's 31, my times are in thy hand, O Lord. All of our times are in the hand of the Lord. Doesn't matter what crisis or what trial or what difficulty you and I may encounter, our times are in the hand of the Lord. Our God is omnipotent in his power. You know, it's just amazing to think about God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this is the truth. We're told in Romans chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Do you understand that any energy force out here in the world or in the universe, anywhere that you can see, is subject unto God? He is the core of all power. He is the power. You know, he is the one who has the power to heal. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ says that he is the great physician. You know, God blesses us with doctors, and I'm thankful for that. But true healing comes from the Lord. Don't ever forget that. God may bless a man to check you out and to give you the right dose of medicine, but I tell you, true healing comes from God Almighty. And that's who we need to look to, and that's who we need to keep focused on. You know, he has all knowledge. You know, I made a statement earlier that this is not a surprise unto God. He's not sitting up there and you know, he's saying, I just didn't expect this to come along. We're told in the 46th chapter of the book of Isaiah, 46th book, chapter it is, verse 9, it says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there's none else. I am God and there's none like me. He is the only true and living God. He said, I declared the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that have not yet been done. Everything that took place from the very beginning of time till time ends until the Lord himself returns, God knew it. He knew it then. He knows it now. He's never forgot a thing. And there's nothing happening that surprises God. We can always look unto God because he's always there. We serve a God who is sovereign, a God who we can depend upon, a God who has never lied and never changes. You know, that's one of the greatest attributes of our God, is he never changes. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do you believe that? Do we really believe that God will never leave us nor forsake us? We're going to find out here in a little bit in the Word of God that we can forsake God. But God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that you may boldly say the Lord is your helper. We're told to boldly come unto the throne of grace that we might attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're to be bold in our statements and calling upon the Lord. He is our help, not man, not the world. We need to trust in Almighty God, regardless of what we're going through. Our only hope is in him. Our only confidence should be in him. Paul said, I have no confidence in the flesh. He had no confidence in his flesh or anyone else's flesh. So we need to remember that God is omnipotent. He has all power. You know, we're told in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35, I believe it is. He says, there's none that can stay his hand. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and there's none that can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? This is the one that we need to seek. Psalms 46 says that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Are we in trouble today? He says he's a very present help, not a future help, not a help that we could get tomorrow or somewhere down the road. He's a very present help. Do we believe? You know, sometimes God may not answer our prayers because we pray in unbelief. Do we believe that he'll never leave us nor forsake us? Do we believe that he will give us grace sufficient to get through whatever troubles we have? Do we believe that if we have to be healed, that he'll heal us? There's a great power in believing. You remember in Mark chapter 9 when Jesus asked that kid's dad or that young son's dad, he says, do you believe? And he said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. You know, even though we're believers, sometimes we don't believe what Jesus says. I believe every one of us believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we believe what he says? So we've preached on fear. The Bible tells us that Jesus can rid us of fear. We preached on the power of prayer. We've seen that in the example of Elijah. We preached on enduring. That means continuing on in the midst of the troubles that you have, whatever they might be. Don't give up and don't throw in the towel. That's what Elijah did. That's what Paul did. You know, when I think about the things that the Apostle Paul went through, it sheds a great light on the circumstances of what's going on today. You know, God gave Paul grace, no doubt about it. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was cast into prison. I'm going to tell you, and then he was beheaded. He went through some difficult times for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is my hope, if we ever have to, that we'll have the courage and God will give us the grace to do the same thing. But we need to look unto God. In the 9th verse of the 16th chapter of 2 Chronicles, we're going to read a verse, and we're going to look at a few more, and then we're going to go back and kind of read through these verses. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him, complete." Now, this is toward the end of time. The first two chapters we'll get back to in just a moment were of a wonderful time in Asa's life, but things changed drastically in the 16th chapter. Asa was a king who done that was right in the eyes of God. In other words, God was very pleased. I believe if you study Scripture, you'll find that there never was a godly king in Israel. And there were some ungodly kings in Judah. But there were several God-fearing kings who done that was right in the sight of Almighty God. Hezekiah being another. When we talk about God's power, God's knowledge of having knowledge of all things, past, present, and future. And here we find that God's eyes are throughout the entire world, to and fro. Let's notice in Proverbs chapter 15, I believe it is. In Proverbs 15 and 3, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding evil and the good." God is everywhere present, nowhere absent. When the Bible says the heaven and the heavens of the heavens cannot contain Almighty God, that's what it means. He's everywhere present and nowhere absent. This is the God who you and I can trust. This is the God whose truth will endure unto all generations. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Even into heaven itself and into mortal glory, that when the earth is finally put to an end, God's truth will never cease. You know, me and Brother Keith was talking this morning about it seemed like lying has just become so prevalent in our world today. You know, I think about what's going on, and I think about all the lies, and not just with the crisis we're in now, but lying has become a way of life with so many people, as though it doesn't matter. Not a lot of integrity going on. It's easy to lie. We go to John chapter 8. We're told that Satan himself was the father of lies. He was a liar from the beginning. If you don't think Satan's not having a heyday in this world, we need to think again. We're told in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the whole armor of God that we might defend ourselves, that we might stand against the wiles of the devil, the trickery. Do you know he uses deception? He deceived Eve. He's very well could be deceiving a lot of folks today. He loves fear because fear causes torment, anxiety, emotional distress. The more he can cause you to fear in this world, the worse your life will be, I promise you. There is no fear in love. Perfect love, and that perfect love is Jesus Christ himself, casteth out fear. Why? Because fear hath torment. Friends, I know our love's not perfect, but I know Jesus Christ is. He's perfect in all things. He is the rock. His work is perfect. His ways are perfect. His word is perfect. And I tell you, we need to trust him. This is the day which the Lord has made. You know, I've tried to make an effort since I preached a couple weeks back about focusing on the day at hand and that at all. The Lord says, give no thought for tomorrow. Sometimes that's hard to do, but you know, we are blessed to be here today. We're blessed to have food to eat today. We're blessed to have a roof over our head. So things are still pretty good. We need to be praying and thanking God that they're that way. But God is sovereign. We can depend on him. He has a He is a help, a very present help in time of trouble, whatever our troubles may be, whether they're collective troubles or individual troubles. So we need to remember that. When we understand that God is sovereign and that there's nothing bigger than the God that you and I serve, it ought to give us great desire and a great encouragement to look unto the Lord and to trust in Him. Remember what we closed with last Sunday, and it said, "Thou will keep him." Speaking of God in perfect peace, that's what we desire. The Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters, the places of peace. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Friends, that's what we want. Green pastures in the midst of a desert or in the midst of a great lot of trouble. God can make you to lie down in a green pasture and be at peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. If you truly trust in the Lord with all thine heart, your mind will be stayed upon God. And God says you will have perfect peace, even in the midst of a ravenous wind and a world that is full of trouble. And let's go back and begin to read. And I'm going to probably read all three chapters, but we want to get the gist of this. Beginning in the 14th chapter of 2 Chronicles, it says, "So Abiah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. There's an amazing time in history, and you might think, well, 10 years is not very long. But in the world in which we live, to not be at war and to have rest, and for things to be quiet 10 years is a pretty exceptional thing. It says, "And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God." When we read about Asa and we read about Hezekiah, it brings to my mind how important it is to pray that God would bless us with a leader who done things that was right in the sight of God, who sought God's will in ruling over whatever kingdom or people he might have here on the earth. This is what Asa did. Let's look what he said. Verse 3, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and he brake down the images and cut down the groves. And he, verse 4, just amazing that you could have a leader. People would say today, this can't be, you can't do this. And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandments. Be kind of like our dads commanding us to seek the Lord our God, to keep his commandments and to do that is right. But to have the leader, the king of this country, say such words is astonishing. You wouldn't see much of that in the world we live in today. They'd be ridiculed and blasted, and every other thing would go on, persecuted. Also, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. I find it interesting when you find a king, in Judah in the Old Testament that was one who did that was right in the sight of God. Generally, their first work and action is, and when they become king, is to clean up the mess that took place before them. Hezekiah was the same way. When his dad Ahaz was one of the most ungodly kings in all of Judah, his son became the most ungodly king, Manasseh. Amazing that this man, Hezekiah, he's considered to be the most godly king that ever ruled in Judah, Hezekiah. And yet his father was so ungodly, his son was so ungodly, it makes you wonder. If you don't believe that's not of the Lord, I tell you what, got another thing coming. That's of God. God done something to Hezekiah that his father sure didn't do to him. And apparently he didn't do a good job of passing it on to his son. But we have the same thing here. Asa's father was not. And we go on and he said, and he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. He cleaned up all these images, these graven images. Another lesson we learn when we study the Old Testament that I think is very applicable today. One of the greatest problems they had was idolatry. And you know, I know people today say to themselves, well, I hadn't went out and carved me out of God and set it on the mantle, or I hadn't went out and bought a graven image and set it on the mantle. But the Bible tells me and teaches me that anything that's in our hearts before God is an idol. Idolatry was notorious among the children of Israel many, many times throughout the Old Testament. You know, have you ever wondered why God put the first commandment as the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That means ourselves, our spouses, our children, our material goods, whatever it is. You know, he could have put that down below. But I tell you, a lot of those other commandments that we don't keep are because we have idols and we hadn't made the Lord our God, the true and living God, and the preeminence of our life. But that was a problem that they had. Verse 7, therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, and we have sought him, and hath given us rest on every side. So they built and they prospered. Amazing how these people sought the Lord and what the Lord done for them. We're going to find in a minute that they sought the Lord with all their heart and with all their soul. Now, this wasn't always the circumstances of Israel. And we can get a lesson from there. We can have a time and an age and a period, maybe in our lives, maybe when we were young, that more people sought the Lord with their heart and their soul than they do now. There's nothing new under the sun. Solomon made that clear. What's being done today has already been done before. And what we're doing today will come to pass in the future until the Lord returns. There's nothing new under the sun when it comes to man and his heart and his devices. Idolatry is whatever we make it to be. You know, things are different now in the world we live in, and they were thousands of years ago, but they didn't have any more trouble making idols back then than we'd have now. Whatever we have, we can put before God. Whatever age we live in, we can find something to put before God. And that's what Israel done. And Asa had an army of men that bear targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bear shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. He had 580,000 men in his army, and they were mighty men of valor. That's quite an army, isn't it? Quite an army. Then Asa went out let's get verse 9. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots and came unto Mereshah. I'm probably butchering that name, but that's a lot. 1,000,000 is I think, 1,000,000. It's a lot. Let's put it that way. But let's notice verse 11. This is an important verse that ought to be a part of our lives today. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help. He's a very present help in time of trouble. He said, it is nothing for thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. God helps the helpless. God helps the weak. God helps the poor. Numbers make no difference with God. That's what this is saying. It didn't matter how many men the Ethiopians had, how many soldiers that Israel had. But the key to it is Asa cried unto the Lord. As big as his army was, he didn't want to go in battle against these folks without the Lord. You know, when David went up against Goliath, he went in the name of the only true and living God. God won that battle, not David. God used David, but the victory was of the Lord. He said, help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let no man prevail against thee. You know, when God fights for us, when God's on our side, there is no man that can prevail against you, I, or any other man. When God's on your side, you're guaranteed to win. When God's with you, you can't lose. You know, I know some people have fear of maybe death, but I like I stated, I like what Elder Philip Conley said. He said, if I get this virus. The Lord's going to bless me to get over it. Or he's going to bless me to come on home. We're strangers and pilgrims. The Lord delivers. He doesn't always deliver exactly like we want, but he delivers. He delivers on his promises. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them to Gerar. And the Ethiopians were overthrown that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away the very much spoil. This victory was a victory of the Lord. And it doesn't matter what trouble you're going through in life, whether it's a war, a famine, a pestilence, it doesn't matter. If you're going to get through it and get beyond it, it's going to take the help of Almighty God. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalms 46:1. A very present, not a future present, a presence right now. We need God's help right now, don't we? We need God's help with what we hear and what we see, and to understand that God is with us and walking with us. And when we cannot walk any further, he's carrying us. This is the Lord our God. We're told, casting your cares upon him, for he careth for you. He knows the feelings of our infirmities. He's not a God who's far off. He's a God who's very near. A God who said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, that you may boldly call upon him. We need to be boldly calling upon the Lord today. He is our only help. We begin in the 15th chapter. And the Spirit of God came upon Ariza, the son of Oded, and he sent him to meet Asa. And Asa said unto him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. You see, Judah was made up of two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. The other 10 tribes known as Israel. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you, this is a verse that we all need to listen to and read every day. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. This is what we're going to find out happened to Asa, a very godly king that done that was right in the eyes of the Lord. But at this time, in these two chapters, he sought the Lord. He cried out when they went to war, and the Lord destroyed the enemy. No matter what the enemy is, brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter at all. It was God who brought it to naught. It was God who brought the victory. Thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have a victory that was won at Calvary that we had nothing to do with, that we have a great hope of participating in because of the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Read that again. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. Remember that verse we closed with and I read again today? We've been given perfect peace if our mind is stayed upon thee, because we trust in the Lord. You know, the lesson with Asa here that we're going to get to is not to teach us that something bad happens every time, but it is to let us know that men back then were just like men today. If we're not focusing, you know, and we take our eyes off of it. You remember when we said, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. It talks about in that verse that his heart departs from the Lord. Oftentimes that's what happens to any of us. It may be the idols that we've had in our life. It may be the goodness. Maybe it's like it was. Maybe we prospered too much. When we preached in the 17th chapter of 1 Kings, you know, they went to the Lord because they were destitute. They were down to the bottom of the barrel, you might say. Maybe our cupboards have been too full. Our freezers have been too full. You know, it's prayers made different when you just got one meal left to eat. We hadn't been there, and I hope we don't go there. But you know, the Lord sustained them. They went there, and they were real people just like you and I. We're told in James chapter 5 that Elijah was a man of passions, same as you and I. He's no different. He was just called of God for a work. Now, for a long season, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without the law. These are times prior to Asa. But when they went in their, but when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. This was a time that they were not walking with the Lord. We sang that song today, "Where Could I Go But to the Lord, Hand in Hand with Jesus." I mean, there's a lot of truth in those songs. Do you walk hand in hand with Jesus Christ every day? Or just when trouble comes? Or, you know, they had this rest, and all of a sudden this enemy came upon them, and Asa cried unto the Lord, and he fought the battle, and they won. And they continued to stay at rest. Verse 5, "And in those times there was no peace to him that went out and to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the country. And the nation was destroyed, and nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all of Judah and Benjamin and the strangers. And the strangers are folks that are really his kin folks from Israel, from Ephraim and Simon and others, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw the Lord his God was with him. You know, it's amazing when you begin to see a country blessed. You know, I wasn't living when this country was founded, when it won its independence, and when men prayed over every action that they took in writing the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. But if you read the historical events, there's no doubt the Lord was divinely intervened with these men, and he answered their prayers, and when the Lord is with a nation, you know it. And that's exactly what this is saying here. So they gathered themselves together in Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time the spoil which they brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. This is an extremely important verse. You remember what Jesus said to the Jews in the time he spoke to them in Matthew chapter 15? He said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far removed." You see, there's nothing new under the sun. There was a time when Israel sought the Lord with all their heart and with all their soul, and there is a time that they just went to the house of God and offered lip service. Their heart wasn't in it. Matter of fact, we see that all the way over in the book of Revelations in chapter 2 at the church of Ephesus. They continued to do the things they should, but they left their first love. Their heart wasn't in it. But here it said, with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel, now this sounds really tough, should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Well, how'd you like to have that law in place today? Afraid we'd have a lot of deaths, wouldn't we? And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting, with trumpets and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. I tell you what, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take your yoke upon me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. My yoke is easy and my burden's light. Our rest is not in this world. Our rest is not getting full of anxiety over what's going on out here. You know, this will pass and something else will come along if the Lord doesn't come back, just like it has down through history. Don't let this rattle you. Put your trust in Almighty God. He says he'll take care of you. He'll keep you. And also concerning Micaiah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in the grove. Now, I'll tell you what, Asa, Bible says over in Luke chapter 14, we're not to love our husbands, wives, mothers, children, or anybody before the Lord. Look what he done here. He put her out of being queen, his own mother, because she had an idol. This was a time why Asa was so blessed of God, and there was so much peace and rest in their lives at that time. He stomped it out and he burned it at the book of Kidron. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Now, they were out of Judah, but not out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. And he brought it into the house of the God, the things that his father had dedicated and that he and himself had dedicated silver and gold. And there was no more war until the 5th and 30th year of the reign of Asa. So we've got through the first two chapters, and let's see what happens to Asa all of a sudden. In the 16th chapter, it says, in the 6th and 36th year, we just got through with the 35th year, of the reign of Asa, Baasha, and I probably pronounced that wrong, king of Israel came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. In other words, Israel came up and was going to build this city, Ramah, against Jerusalem with the intent of no one could come in or go in or go out of Jerusalem. Then Asa, let's notice what he done. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league. Apparently there was a league between these two reigning kings today and their fathers. So he said, there's a league between us, between me and thee, and there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, the king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ion and Dan and these others and Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it that he left off building Ramah and his work ceased. Now, Asa went out and he took the stones and he took the wood out of that city of Ramah and he went and built other cities. Well, let's go down to verse 7. At that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge host and with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou hast relied on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand. He said, you won the biggest war of all time that you could have ever fought with because God fought your battle. Fear came upon Asa, no doubt about it, and fear causes us to forget the past mercies and the past deliverances of Almighty God. Fear is a terrible thing. It causes internal problems, anxiety, and emotions, and that's what happened. He became forgetful. He became fearful that he was going to be cut off. So he sent to an enemy king, you might say, and asked, paid him money out of the treasury of the Lord to help him, and now he's being questioned by this seer. Were not the Ethiopians destroyed by the hand of the Lord? Verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord, we started that, run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. He had a lot of years that he had peace on every side and rest. No wars. But when he decided to seek counsel and help from man, things went awry. Things went bad. How many people today are seeking their counsel and their hope in man and not in the God of heaven? You know, this is not my opinion. This is not my thoughts. This is thus saith the Lord. And that's what I've tried to encourage us all with and to bring to us. The Lord is bigger than any problem or difficulty that we'll ever face. And I want to encourage us to always seek the counsel of the Lord to effectually and fervently pray unto God. He hears our prayers. Then Asa was wroth with the seer, and he put him in prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing, and Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. I mean, this seer come and told him what he done wrong, and it made him mad. Kind of sounds like something that might happen in our lifetime. People don't want to be told they're doing something wrong. But Asa should have known this. He had sought the Lord all these days and had all this rest on every side. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. Verse 12. And Asa, in his 39th year of reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceedingly great. Yet, in his disease, he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. The Lord is the great physician. The Lord is the great healer. Because he turned away from the Lord. He refused the balm of Gilead, if you would. He refused the Lord's healing, and he sought man. Lord didn't heal him from this disease. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. The last 5 or 6 years of Asa's life was far different in his reign over Judah than it was in the first 35 years. When things got rough and somebody was going to attack him, he cried out unto the Lord. When problems came, they sought the Lord with their whole heart and all their desire. That's a lesson for us. Jesus made it plain that he doesn't want lip service. He wants heartfelt worship and prayer and in seeking him in all our problems, whatever they are. Because the world's full of trouble and problems. Let us have perfect peace, because God promised it, if we trust in him and our minds are stayed upon him. That's the way we get perfect peace. And that's the way we can enjoy a life, even when there's trouble going on all around us. It's hard to imagine that Jesus can lead you by the still waters and make you to lay down in green pastures when everything around you it seems to be going wild-like, and it's just trouble everywhere you look and problems. But he can. That's what Jesus can do for each and every one of his children. He knows the difficulties that we go through. And he loves us, and he's promised to never leave us. May God help us to be encouraged by knowing that Jesus is always there. Jesus will always do for us what we need. But we need to not forsake him. Remember what that verse said in the 15th chapter? As long as we're seeking him and we're with him, he's with us. If we forsake him, he will forsake us. Let us not forsake the Lord, but look unto the Lord every day for every difficulty and every problem we have.